Well, amen. It's good to be here. You can set that down there. And I've enjoyed myself this morning. Amen. And I enjoy watching the young people have fun. They'll do things that you just never imagine they do. Amen. And I had no idea that Preacher was going to be getting us leaders involved, or at least I should say me involved. I thought I was going to be able to just stay quiet. Amen. And be back there out of the way. But of course, you have learned that you'll never know what he might do. And I've only known him for 24 hours. Amen. So there's no telling what might happen before the week's out. Give me a little more volume on this mic. Amen. Daniel chapter number one this morning. Daniel chapter number one. I want to try to preach to you this morning, and young people, you don't know me, I don't know you, I'm from America, most of you are from here, Canada, and the good thing about it is we're all saved, at least those are that saved, we have something in common. I'm sure there's some young people in here that are lost, and you know who you are, and I hope that maybe you'll make a decision to get saved before the meeting's over, amen? Be awesome if you even got saved this morning, just so you can enjoy the rest of the time that everybody's here together. But I enjoyed that music, amen? That was beautiful, wonderful. I love that song, amen? Thank the Lord for that. So you young people did a great job playing the instruments and singing. That was wonderful, amen? I'm not much of a talker, so we'll get right into preaching. Daniel chapter number one. Daniel chapter number one this morning, and we'll begin reading down there. We'll just read the whole chapter, amen? And so that way, all of you will have at least one chapter in for the day. Hallelujah, amen? Daniel chapter number one. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasurer's house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Wherefore he requested of the princes and of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likely than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servant. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh, and all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the princes of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for the good time the young people have had this morning. Lord, the laughing, Lord Jesus, and the shouting, Lord, and the singing, Lord, it's been wonderful. Now, God, I pray you take the next few moments, Heavenly Father, you think upon us. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to the hearts of your young people here. And God, those that are not yours, that are lost, Heavenly Father, I pray you'd speak to them. And God, I pray, Lord, for the help of the Holy Ghost in preaching. God, I
I believe in, take it serious. And Heavenly Father, I pray that God, you'd begin to do a mighty work, Lord, in the young people's hearts. And Lord, by the end of tomorrow, Lord, we'd be able to shout and rejoice because of the great things that you've done in their hearts and their lives. Lord, I pray you'd transform and change lives. And may they make decisions, God, that'll last and that will stick with them. Lord Jesus, that they'll do a great work for thee. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse number 8, of course, amen. The Bible said down there, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. The Bible also said in verse number 17, it said this, as for these four children. Now, we look at children as 8, 9 year olds. You know, 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds, 10 year olds, but I believe with all my heart that these were young men. I believe they were teenagers. They were children in the eyes of the adults, of course, the older ones. But Daniel did something different. Daniel purposed. We're talking about a young man. We're talking about a teenager. We're talking about a man that was in a strange place. You understand? He has been taken captive out of his homeland. They have taken him. They've put him in a strange land amongst a strange people, a land of filth, a land of sin, a land of ungodliness, a land of just vileness that's around him. And Daniel, as a young man, is purposing something in his heart. He's saying, I'm not going to defile myself with a king's meat. Now, that word purpose. It means, young people, it means to aim toward something. It means to make your mind up about something. Now stay with me. Daniel's mind was made up that he would not defile himself and that nothing would change his mind. Defile means to make unclean. It means to make impure. It means to tarnish the purity of character and to surrender. To surrender or to return, in other words, impure with sin. In other words, defile is this. Here's what Daniel did. Daniel said this. He said, I'm making my mind up right now. As a young man, he said, I'm making my mind up. I'm purposing in my heart that I'm not going to make myself unclean. I'm not going to make myself impure. I'm not going to tarnish the purity of my character. He's saying, I'm not going to return home impure with sin. Now, Daniel's mind was made up that he wasn't going to meddle with sin. That means, friend, that he didn't want to play with it, young people. That means that he didn't want to get close to it. That means that he didn't want to have anything to do with it, if you would. Daniel didn't want the king's meat even laid before him. He didn't even want to sit at the same table where the king's meat was at so that it would not be before him like bait that would tempt him to sin. And I say to you, that's just like Satan, young people. Satan wants to tempt you to look at sin. He wants to lure you in. He wants to use it as bait to try to get you close to sin, so eventually you'll mess up. And Daniel said, I don't want anything to do with it. Daniel said, I don't want to be around it. You see, Daniel did not even want to look upon that which was unclean. Let me say to you, young people, listen to me. There's many young people today that they don't just look at sin. They get close to sin. They get involved in sin. Daniel's saying, I don't want to be around it. Daniel's saying, I don't want anything to do with it. But let me ask you a question. If you're a young person here today, and most of you are, and you say that you're saved, why do you even want to look at sin? Why do you want to hang around sin? There's some of you that you're here today and you're around young people that love God and you yourself don't love God. You know you don't. You know who you are. Matter of fact, when you go back home, you plan on listening to the same music you always listen to. You plan on hanging around the same crowd you always hung around. You plan on hanging around the same girl you did, fella. You girl plan on hanging around the same guy that you always hang around with. You plan on continuing your petting and your touching and the world and the filth and ungodliness that goes along with that. Let me ask you a question. What's wrong with you? How come you don't be like Daniel, how come you don't be one that purposes in your heart and says, you know what? I don't want to defile myself. I don't want to be impure. I don't want to be unclean. I don't want to be filthy. I don't want to have the filth and the tarnish of this world upon my heart and upon my life. Where is the desire in the young people's hearts today that say, I want to be clean. I want to be different. I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to live a clean and a holy life. I want to be able to get married and be clean and impure and serve my God and do what's right until the day I die. Where are they at? Daniel said, I want a purpose in my heart. I want to defile myself. The Bible says in Psalm 101 verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The Bible said in Proverbs 23, 31 and 32, it says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Can I say to a young person, Daniel was probably no doubt around the age of 16 to 17 years old. And we notice that they changed Daniel's name, but they could not change his purpose, nor could they change his nature. And because Daniel purposed, are you listening? Because he purposed, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they also purposed. I said that to say this. Some of you young people feel like you're the only one that's trying to do right. If we had more young people that would purpose in their heart to do right, there would be other young people that would follow right in their footsteps. See, what happens is we have young people today that are afraid to stand up and be above the rest in doing what's right. Young lady, let me ask you a question. Why is it so difficult for you to do right around others that do wrong? What are you ashamed of? I mean, you only serve the greatest God that's ever been and that ever will be. Where is our desire at to stand out above everybody else? Fellas, why is it so hard for you to be a man? Why is it so hard to be a leader? Why is it so hard for our young people today to purpose in their heart to do what's right? And if they would, they would see that others would follow wrong behind them. Young person, if you'll take a stand for God, you'll find that others will come with you. Our churches are losing leaders in our youth groups. Today, we have the leaders that want to do wrong in our youth groups. And you preachers, say amen with me and help me out. Today we have the youth groups where the guy is no longer the leader, or the girl is no longer the leader of the girl. Instead, the one that's the most rebellious is the one that usually is the leader. Usually it's the one nowadays where whoever can get involved in the most sin, that's who everybody looks up to. Let me ask you a question. Where are the youth groups? Where are the young men? Where are the young ladies in the youth groups that say, I don't care the way so-and-so's going. I don't give a rip what she's doing. I don't care how popular she is. I don't care how popular he is in the eyes of everybody else. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be the leader in this youth group for God, regardless if anybody follows me or not, regardless if anybody wants to do right or not. Can I say to you, if you would take a stand and be the man that you should be, sir, and you take a stand, young lady, and be the lady that you should be, you'll find out, just like Daniel found out, that somebody else is going to follow right in behind you, and somebody else will follow in behind them, somebody else will follow in behind them, and the next thing you know, that crowd that's chock full of sin, they're going to either get right or get out. Amen. And I say to you, where are the young people and the men of God and the young ladies that will say, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm going to not defile myself. Where are they at? You see, you must purpose in your heart, young person, that you'll not defile yourself. You live in a world today that cares nothing about the God that you serve. You live in a world today where sin is always before you and it tries to get you to live that life. It tries to get you to live that filthy life, just like it was in front of Daniel, and just like it was over there in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as who everybody knows them as. They're living in a filthy, ungodly world where everybody's trying to get them to do wrong. Even their people were doing wrong. Even the other young people that were brought with them from their homeland, they were doing wrong. But these four men decided that they were going to do right, and they're in a land of sin and wickedness. It's around them every day. You understand? They're seeing it every day, just like you do. Can I say to your young people, it's before you at your school. It's before you on the television. Sin's before you on the billboards. It's in your family. It's around the so-called friends in the neighborhood you live. It's on the computer. It's on the internet. Sin is running rampant. It's everywhere. It's all around you. That's why you must purpose in your heart and say, no matter what comes, no matter what I see, no matter what I face, I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm not going to defile myself. You must purpose in your heart that you're not going to let the smallest little bit of sin in your life. Not one bit. One said it this way: the greatest security against sin is to be shocked at its presence. Let me tell you the problem. Most of you aren't shocked at sin. I want you to think. Most of you see sin, it's no big deal to you. Young man, when's the last time you saw a girl that wasn't dressed right? Instead of looking at her and following her with your eyes, you immediately turned away. When's the last time, young ladies, that you heard something from somebody else that you shouldn't hear, or you saw something you shouldn't see, and you immediately turned away because you wanted to blush because of sin? Let me tell you why you're not used to it, why many are used to it. You see it so much. It's everywhere. You say, well, how do we do right? You purpose. You purpose. How can we expect our young people, adults, to be? How can we expect them to be shocked at sin if it's on the television? How can we expect them to be shocked at sin if it's on the billboards, if it's on the computers, if it's at their schools, if it's even in their homes, if it's everywhere? We want them to stay clean from sin and stay shocked at the presence of sin. How can we do that? The only way you can do it is purpose in your heart. That's the only way you're going to make it, young person. You got a purpose in your heart that you're not going to defile yourself with the world's pleasures and with the filth of this world. A purpose is this: to aim towards something, to make your mind up, to have a goal. In other words, have a goal in your life. You got to make your mind up as a young person. You just got to say, this is the direction I'm going with God. This is what I'm going to do for God. I'm purposing in my heart. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to have a clean life. In other words, you got to quit following the dead beats of life, amen, and you got to make your own decisions to do right. I tell my children all the time, especially my boys, I tell my boys, I say, hey son, be a leader, be a leader, be a leader, don't be a follower. Don't follow the crowd that goes in sin. Don't follow the crowd that wants to mess around all the time. Don't follow the crowd that wants to always act foolish and be stupid. I said, be a leader, be a leader. You do what's right, regardless if they do right, you do right. In other words, purpose. Have some drive about you. I want to give you some things. Purpose in your heart that you won't defile yourself with rebellion. Now, some of you already got a little smirk. That's your rebellion. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Did you hear that? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You witch, you say, I'm not a witch. Oh yeah, you are if you got rebellion in your heart. God says a sin of witchcraft. Exodus 22:18 says this about witches. It says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. In other words, friend, God hates rebellion. I said God hates rebellion so much that he likens it unto witchcraft. And young person, when a young person has the heart of a rebellious individual, it is as a sin of witchcraft and idolatry. And God hates rebellion. Today they have rebellion toward the word of God. They have rebellion toward separation. Today we have rebellion toward the parents. They have rebellion toward the preachers. Today young people have rebellion toward their teachers. They have rebellion towards authority. Rebellion is renouncing or revolting against authority. In other words, you go against what they want you to do. That is rebellion. He said over there in Proverbs 20 verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. In other words, young person, listen, they are counseling you. They are trying to help you. He said over there in Hebrews 13:7, he said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They don't love me, nor they're watching out for you. They hate me. No, they're watching out for you. They don't care about me. No, they're watching out for you. They're always against me. No, they're watching out for you. They don't want me to have any fun. No, they're watching out for you. They're watching out for your souls. They're watching out for your souls. You think they're stopping you from having fun? You think they don't like you? You think they don't understand you? Can I say to you, friend, no, 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 no. They're trying to keep you from defiling yourself. That's why King Saul ended up like he did. Rebellion. See what happened to him? He died. Got killed. That's why Samson ended up like he did. Rebellion. He died because of rebellion. That's why Judas ended up like he did. Why? Rebellion. That's why Jonah ended up like he did. Rebellion. You see, none of these men submitted to authority. And every one of you probably know exactly who they are. Why? They were rebellious. You see, young people, they came to a place in their life. Don't miss this. They came to a place in their life where they thought they could make their own decisions. You ever been there? You don't have to raise your hand, but I know most of you have. You come to the place in your life where you actually think, you know, my mom and dad really don't understand what I'm trying to do. They don't understand me. Preacher, really, he don't have a clue. And teacher, he don't like me and I don't like him. And you know what? I'm old enough to make my own decisions. How long have you been living on this earth? And how long have they been living on this earth? But you're old enough to make your own decisions. They are stupid and you're so smart, right? They've only done and been where you're at. And they're only trying to save you and protect you and keep you from defiling yourself, but yet you're old enough to make your own decision and you're old enough to do your own thing because they're stupid and they don't have a clue, right? It does sound dumb, don't it? Rebellion. Rebellion will get you nothing but defeat. Rebellion will get you nothing but discouragement. Rebellion will get you nothing but death. Can I say to you, friend, rebellion does not get you popularity and prestige. It does not. It will destroy you. It will defile you. It will cause you to defile yourself. And I say to you in person, purpose in your heart that you won't defile yourself with rebellion. Let me give you something else a little bit tougher. Purpose in your heart that you won't defile yourself with pornography. Boy, does that shock some of you? Purpose in your heart that you won't defile yourself with pornography. You say, preacher, you're talking to young people. I know it. I know exactly who I'm talking to. And it's rampant today. It ain't no different in Canada than it is in America. It's running rampant. It's everywhere. And we need young people today that will say, hey, I'm going to purpose in my heart. I'm going to make my mind up right now as a young man, as a young woman. I am not going to defile myself with the awful sin of pornography. Pornography is to look upon the nakedness of another. Now, don't act like you're shocked. Listen to me. We live in a day of extreme nakedness. The Bible says in Leviticus 18:17, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. He said in Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He said in 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practice cursed children. Can I say to young people, listen, the Bible says eyes full of adultery. These are the people that cannot cease from sin. God said they are unstable souls. He said it is a covetous practice and they are cursed children. And the Bible says pornography and teaches us that it will destroy, it will defile your mind. It will destroy and defile your body. And I say to you, you got a purpose in your heart that you'll not defile yourself with such awful sin. Matthew Henry said this, a commentary said this. He said destruction will be the effect of pornography. These persons shall be utterly destroyed in their own corruption. Their vices not only expose them to the wrath of God in another world, but often bring them to misery and ruin in this life, and it does. And surely such shameless offenders who glory in their shame and to whom openness in sin is an improvement of the pleasure of sinning most justly deserve all the plagues of this life and the pains of the next in the greatest extremity. Therefore, whatever they meet with is the just reward of their unrighteousness. Such sinners as sport themselves in mischief, deceive themselves, and disgrace all they belong to. You hear that, young people? They disgrace all that they belong to. For by one sort of sins, they prepare themselves for another. Their extravagant feastings, their unrestraint in eating and drinking bring them to commit all manner of lewdness, so that their eyes are full of adultery. Their wanton looks show their impure lust and are designed and directed to kindle the like in others. And this is what they cannot cease from. They cannot cease from a heart that is not satisfied in lusting, and the eye is continually looking after what may gratify their unclean desires. And those who are of themselves shameless and continual in sin are very diligent and often successful in deceiving others and drawing others into the same excess of riot. But here observe those who are in the greatest danger of being led away into error and ungodliness, even the unstable. Are you listening? Those whose hearts are not established with grace. In other words, those that did not purpose in their heart. Those whose hearts are not established with grace are easily turned into the way of sin, or else sensual wretches would not be able to prevail upon them. For these are not only riotous and lascivious, but covetous also. So, in other words, let me say to you, pornography is tearing apart the very fabric of our society. Yet Christians are often ignorant of its impact and have no feeling about the need to control this threat. Can I say to you, young people, adult bookstores outnumber McDonald's restaurants in the United States. I don't know what it is here, but in the States it outnumbers it. It probably outnumbers it here too. And I say to you, friend, most young people will see pornography before they ever lose their virginity. I can guarantee you, I don't know for sure if this is real, but preacher, I can almost guarantee you that any guy that's ever raped a lady or a woman, probably 100% of them men have looked at pornography before it ever happened. Probably 90% of the young people that's ever messed up in adultery, fornication, and sin has seen or looked at pornography before it ever happened. It will destroy you. It will defile you. It will put something in your mind that you'll never forget. When I was a young teenage boy, I grew up in Florida ever since till I was 19, and I moved, went to college. For all my childhood years, teenage years, I grew up the same place, down in Florida. And pretty much my life was woods. I ran the woods. I lived in the woods. I stayed in the creeks and the rivers and went to the beaches, and that's all I did. But as a young boy, we had some woods beside my house, preacher, and there was woods across the street, and there were some houses there in the neighborhood, and I pretty much spent my time building forts and having bike trails and riding little motorcycles and things like that. And one of my friends, so-called friend, said, "Hey, man, I want to show you something." He said, "I got it in our fort." I said, "All right, let's go." Innocent as could be. Had no idea what was going on. Took us to our fort. Showed me the first sign of pornography I've ever seen in my life. I was shocked. I wish I never would have seen it. But can I say to you, I'm 37 years old, I've never forgot it. It'll defile you. It'll destroy you. I want you to think about it. Purpose in your heart that you won't defile yourself with rebellion, with pornography. Purpose that you won't defile yourself with liquor. And we can put tobacco in there too. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, "Know you not that you are the temple of God?" Did you hear that? "Know you not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Michael Jacobson, executive director of the Center of Science and Public Interest, wrote for Nutrition Action magazine. He said this. He said, alcohol can cause mental retardation, which it, when it reaches the baby in the womb. When cigarette smoking is combined with alcohol, it can cause cancer of the mouth and throat. Alcohol can rot the brain and liver and leads to thousands of deaths, falls, suicides, and fires. The cost in medical bills, property damages, lost wages, and productivity of alcoholism reaches $100 billion a year. Can I say to you, friend, it's destroying, and it always will destroy. The Bible said in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Can I say to young people, alcohol is a friend on the outside, but it is an enemy on the inside. Drunkenness has killed more men than all the wars that history's ever seen. A fatal accident involved four young people. Four young people died in an accident, a car accident. It took place on a highway. The evidence that liquor was the culprit was found in the broken whiskey bottles among the debris and among the mangled bodies of the four teenagers. The father of one of the girls, in great anger over the untimely death of his beautiful daughter, threatened to kill the very one who had provided the four young people with the liquor. But upon going to the cupboard, his cabinet at his house, where he kept his supply of choice beverages, he found a little note from his daughter in her handwriting. It said this: Daddy, we're taking along some of your good liquor. I know you won't mind. He killed his daughter. You see, young person, the lie of the liquor bottle will kill you and destroy you and your family. It will cause death to others that you do not know. It will cause heartache and sorrow. And some of you are sitting here and you've never even had anything to do with that. Thank God for that. Some of you have no desire to. Thank God for that. But can I say to you, as you get older, there's no doubt that Satan will probably put it before you somehow, some way, to try to get you to mess up. Young lady, he'll try to put it there to get you to mess up. Young man, he'll definitely put it before you to try to get you to mess up. But as a young person, you got to make your mind up right now. You got to say, I'm not going to defile myself with liquor. I'm not going to defile myself with sin. I'm making my mind up right now. I don't want anything to do with it. I have an aunt. Her name is Tina Green. She is Dr. Don Green's daughter-in-law. She's married to John Green. Tina Green's my dad's sister. John Green is a preacher, and they were newly married. Girls, you listening? Very newly married. I think 2 months into their marriage life, 2 months after being married, newlyweds, if you would. They were down in Pensacola, Florida, and my aunt and uncle, my uncle worked for Krispy Kreme. Amen. Donut. He was a Krispy Kreme. Even some of you may, I guess, you know who y'all know who that is. Y'all know what that is. I didn't think most of you knew what it was. Amen. It's a donut place. It's out of heaven. But it's only in the States. Amen. Tim Hortons has nothing on Krispy Kreme. But anyways, I just went there the other day with my cousin before I came here and had me a fix. Amen. They injected me. No, I'm just kidding. But preacher, I went to the Krispy Kreme donut. They got this sign that flashes. It says hot, hot, hot. Amen. That means you can get hot donuts. Amen. If you've never had a hot donut, you've never had a donut. But anyways, I went with my cousin and we went over there and we went to Krispy Kreme and it said hot. And he's over there. He said, Jason, you pray that the sign to be on. I said, God don't hear that kind of prayer. He said, pray. So I said, amen. God let the sign be on, amen. So anyways, we pulled up. This was before I flew in. We pulled up, amen, there on Tuesday nights, and sure enough, the sign was flashing. Hot donuts now, amen. We went inside, got us a dozen of them glazed Krispy Kreme donuts. When you pick them up, they don't stay like a donut. They kind of fold. If you hold it too long in your finger, it'll burn your finger. We're trying to take pictures, so we send them to friends of ours, amen. We're trying to take pictures. I'm telling them, hey, it's burning my finger. Hurry up. But anyways, my Uncle Johnny delivered Krispy Kreme donuts on Pensacola Beach to a store. He would pick them up from the place where they made them at. They'd put them in the van loads, and then he would go deliver them. And them being young married that they was, Aunt Tina wanted to go with her newlywed. She wanted to be with her husband. And back then, they didn't care, you know, if you had somebody riding with you. And so she jumps over there in the van on top of some crates on the passenger side. Wasn't no seat, just kind of crates. And she's sitting over there, and it's real early in the morning. It's about 5-something in the morning, and they're going down Pensacola Beach. And if those of you don't know that, it's just a little 2-lane highway. You can see the Gulf on one side. You can see the bay on the other side. And they're just going down through there, getting ready to deliver to some stores. Well, there'd been some young people that had been out partying all night long on Pensacola Beach and in their condos and partying and drinking. And it's raining hard and nobody can hardly see and it's dark. And Uncle Johnny's just driving slow, taking his time. The next thing he knows, there's headlights on the same side of the road that he's on. He hits them head on. The authorities show up, and I think if I remember correctly, it threw my uncle out of the van, if I remember correctly, or maybe they pulled him out, and they thought he was the only one because he was the worker, and then he's kind of coming to, and he started saying, my wife, and they looked over there in the van, and they seen something underneath, piles and piles of racks and donuts. It was my aunt. They pulled her mangled body out of that, and they took her to the hospital, and to make a long story short, young people, listen to me, girls. She has never had her own child, and she's never walked since then. It paralyzed her. Dr. Percy Ray, some of you preachers may have heard of him, prayed for her, a great prayer warrior. Dr. Don Green, a great prayer warrior, prayed for her. She lived, but she never walked again. She's never had her own child. She's had over 30-something surgeries to this day. She's had one leg amputated off since then because of circulation. Can I say to you young people, she suffers every day of her life. Why? Liquor. Oh, but it's fun. Come on, go with us. We'll have a great time. You'll defile yourself. You'll destroy somebody's life. You'll destroy your own life. The Bible said over there in Proverbs 23:21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. He said over there in Proverbs 23, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wound without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. He said in 1 Corinthians 6:10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers shall enter, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, I'm sorry. Can I say liquor and drunkenness? It will destroy your life. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your character. It'll defile your mind. It'll defile your body. It'll defile your testimony. It'll take away your family. It'll take away your friends. It'll take away your future. It'll kill your soul. It'll kill your sanity. It'll steal your song, it'll steal your money, it'll steal your victory, it'll steal your virginity, it will destroy you. You'll wish to God you never hung around that crowd. The Bible said, woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, that makest him drunken also. Listen, girls, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Can I just be honest with you? Girls, there are guys out there that will do their best to get you drunk just so they can look at your nakedness. Purpose in your heart that you won't defile yourself. Let me give you another one that's a little bit tougher. Purpose in your heart that you won't defile yourself with fornication. I know it's tough and I know it's straight. Those that care about you will tell you the truth. 1 Corinthians 7:1-2. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to, are you listening? Touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Come up here, son. Now I know you're not a woman. But if this was a woman, he'd fit. Well, no, I'm just kidding. According to the Bible, is that a touch? Oh, but that's so stupid, preacher. Not to God. It is good for a man not to what? Say it. It's good for a man not to what? Touch? If my wife was here, she'd be up here. Amen. Touch? I'm touching his hand, right? What if I'm sitting against him? Am I touching him? it's good for a man not to touch. Stupid, ain't it? No, it's not stupid. God has a reason for you not to touch. Thank you. You can sit down. Why is that? I'm trying to be very careful, preacher. There is something inside of you, young people, that God put in you for when you get married, that when you touch the opposite sex, it ignites something. And it is built into you for the day you get married and then on. It is not in you for your teenage years or your young adult years or until you are married. That's why God said it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, I don't think that God is upset, preacher, if I shake a lady's hand. But if I'm, this is talking about a sensual touch, lustful touch, a loving touch, if you would. And the Bible said it's good for a man not to touch a woman, and here's the reason why. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. God killed 23,000 of them in one day because they committed fornication. He said in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. That means run from it. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He said Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. Not one time, God said, as becometh saints. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, young people. God says it plainly in his Bible. He's given us warnings. He's saying don't touch because you're going to mess up. He's saying don't hang around the crowd that does. He's saying flee it. He's saying run away from it. He's saying stay away from them. Abstain from it. Don't have anything to do with it because it'll defile you.
Now can I say to you, fornication, it's in our schools. They hear about it. I don't know what kind of schools you have over here. Preacher, what do they have? Public schools over here? There are some, y'all have Christian schools too, I guess. Public schools, okay. How many of you go to a public school? Let me see your hand. Put them up. Come on. Put them up. Put them up. Put them up. All right. Not as many. How many go to Christian school? Let me see your hand. All right. Some of you don't go to school at all then. How many other schools are there, preacher? Homeschool. How many go to homeschool? Wow. Good night. They outnumber Americans in homeschool, that's for sure. You ask that question in America and everybody's raising their hand in public school, but... In many schools, hopefully not homeschools, in many schools, good night. That would be bad, wouldn't it? In many schools is where teenagers and young people hear about it. They hear so-called friends talking about it. On the television, they see it. It's in our homes where they experience it. Young person, the causes of fornication. Wrong friends. The Bible says that Amnon had a friend. And that's a message in itself. And Amnon's friend's name was Jonadab. Do you know who Jonadab was to Amnon? You say, well, he was his friend. He was more than that. He was his cousin. It was family members. Just because they're family members doesn't mean they're the right ones to hang around.
But Jonadab and Amnon are cousins, and Amnon's hanging out with his cousin, and Amnon's hanging around his wrong friend, and so Amnon is getting advice from Jonadab, and he's getting the wrong kind of advice, and he's telling him things he shouldn't tell him. And the thing about it is the wrong friends, they want you to touch, they want you to handle, they want to talk about it, they want to get involved in those kind of things. And I say to you, the causes of fornication is no doubt, number one, wrong friends. Number two, wrong dress. Wrong dress. Tight, thinly clad, and bare skin showing, which is no more than what we call sex appeal, is a cause of fornication. Let me say that again. Tight, that includes shirts, skirts, pants, fellas. Thinly clad, bare skin showing is the causes of fornication. If there's one reason, I got a message. I'm even trying to work on a book on modesty. It's very difficult for me, but I'm trying. Message on modesty. And can I say to you that one of the main reasons why a girl loses her virginity is because of the way she dresses. Girls today put on clothing to get the attention of young men when they should put on clothing to get the attention of God. Amen? So you put on the wrong kind of clothing, young lady. Are you listening to me? And it's the wrong kind of clothing, and it causes a man to think wrong about you. More than likely, you're going to get the wrong kind of man wanting you. Therefore, whenever you got the wrong clothing on and the wrong kind of crowd is looking at you, lusting after you and wanting you, next thing you know, you're getting attention from that crowd. You fall to that crowd. Next thing you know, you've committed the sin of fornication. Your life's totally about to change. Your life's messed up. You're now headed down the wrong road. He no longer cares anything about you because he got what he wanted. He's gone. The next thing you know, you got a baby there, amen. He's gone, and everybody's looking down on you because of the life that you've lived. And because of your filth and your sin, it all goes back to your clothing. Wrong dress. Wrong friends, wrong dress. Let me say to you, wrong places. Alone in a car is nowhere for you to be with the opposite sex. Alone in a house is nowhere for you to be with the opposite sex. Alone in a bedroom is definitely no place for you to be with the opposite sex. Amen or oh me, smile, chuckle, laugh, do what you want to, but it's the truth. Can I say to you, young person, if you make up your mind, whenever you're aged now, and you say, I'm not going to defile myself with fornication, you make your mind up right now, you won't be alone in a car by yourself with somebody. You won't be alone in a house with somebody. You won't be alone in a bedroom with somebody. You won't let nobody touch you. You won't let nobody defile you, because you made your mind up a long time ago that you weren't going to defile yourself. Defile yourself. Purpose in your heart that you won't defile yourself. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither fornicators. Purpose in your heart that you won't defile yourself with fornication, young people. In other words, you got to stay clean. You got to make in your mind that you're not going to defile yourself. You got to aim towards something. You got to make your mind up. You got a purpose that you won't defile yourself. And purpose this morning that you won't defile yourself with rebellion, with pornography, with liquor, with fornication. We could go on with many sins, but let me just say this. Let's put it all in one basket. Purpose that you won't defile yourself. How much time do I have? I'm over? Okay, I got more to this message, but let me just say to you. Let me give you these real quick. Purpose in your heart that you'll answer the call to salvation. Young people, some of you in here are lost. Some of you are saved. Wonderful. Most of you probably are. Some of you are lost. But why don't you purpose in your heart, say, when God calls me to salvation, he speaks to my heart, I'm going to answer that call. Purpose in your heart, answer the call to salvation. Let me skip on a bunch and go to the second one. Purpose in your heart that you'll answer the call to service. The Bible said over there in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Young people today, they answer the call to military, to pleasures, they answer the call to the world, to the big job opportunities, they answer the call to their friends. But what about salvation? Jesus is God, yet Jesus made himself a servant for you and I. And can I say to you, friend, if Jesus was a servant, why can't we be a servant? Pride stops many young people from serving. Some are too concerned with what they are or who they are instead of what they should be doing. Your life, young person, should be centered around the church of God. You ought to make your mind up right now. When the church has revival, you'll be there. When they have visitation, you'll be there. If there's bus routes, you'll work on them. When the church has work days, you'll be there. You should be involved in everything that the church is doing. But the devil hinders young people from serving God. He said in 1 Peter 5:8, God said the devil is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, the Bible said, steadfast. Whom resist, why? He says choose whatever church you want to go to. He says choose your own way of life. He says choose whatever you think's right or wrong. He says don't have time. We don't have time to serve God. He says it's too difficult to be holy. It's too difficult to be separated. But why don't you make your mind up right now? Why don't you purpose in your heart right now and say, hey, when God calls to salvation, I'm going to get saved. Maybe you are saved. Say, hey, when God calls to service, I'm going to serve God. Let me give you the third one. Purpose in your heart that you'll surrender. Hudson Taylor said the real secret of an unsatisfied life lies too often in the unsurrendered will. Hudson Taylor said the real secret to an unsatisfied life lies too often in unsurrendered will. We got too many young people today that do not surrender to the will of God in their life. What is it that's keeping you from surrendering, young person? Is it a girl? Is it a boy? Is it sports? Is it friends? Is it hobby? Is it a sin? Is it what you want? Let it go. I got to stop. But purpose in your heart that you won't defile yourself with rebellion. Purpose in your heart you won't defile yourself with pornography or liquor or fornication. And then purpose that you will. Answer the call to salvation. Answer the call to service. Answer the call to surrender. Let's bow our heads. Sis, if you go to the piano and begin to play. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, it's so important. So important, Lord Jesus, for young people to make their mind up when they're young that they won't defile themselves. God, there are some young people in this room that have already defiled themselves, and Lord Jesus, I pray that they would know that you're a forgiving God, and that, Lord Jesus, they can get it right now. And Father, they can purpose in their heart right now that they'll never defile themselves again, but God, there are some, thank God for those that have not defiled themselves. There are some young ladies in here, God, they're precious and holy and beautiful, never defiled themselves. God, there are some young men in here that have never messed up, never got involved. Oh, people don't think they're popular. The guys may even think that they're nerds. But God, in my book, they're strong men. They're great young men. God, I pray that many young people today would purpose in their heart that they would not defile themselves. Father, I pray that maybe some of the young men would get together with each other and say, hey, let's purpose together that we won't defile ourselves. The Bible said, iron sharpeneth iron. I pray some young ladies would get together and God purpose in their heart that they won't defile themselves. Heavenly Father, Lord, there's got to be young people, no doubt, that are here lost. And Lord, I didn't get to deal with that as much, but I sure pray that you would please speak to their heart and they'd get saved. In the name of Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, young person, when I'm preaching, the altars are opened